as Judaism defines this verse, that means that we cannot sow, we cannot write, we cannot plow, and we certainly cannot light a fire. Why, then, must the Torah go out of its way to inform us that lighting a fire on the Sabbath is forbidden? Welcome to 10-Minute Mitzvah Episode 20, Jeopardy and the Sabbath Stew. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us speak of a rare moment of union joining the centuries-long tradition of Jewish food and a popular TV game show. Jeopardy, as I assume most of you are aware, is the long-running quiz contest in which contestants choose a topic and are given an answer, and they must provide the question. Cholent, or chamin, are the names referring to a Sabbath stew placed on the stove or in a crock pot before the Sabbath begins, so that it will cook overnight and hot food can be eaten during the day, on a day when Sabbath laws forbid acts of cooking. Long hosted by Alex Trebek, Jeopardy! Featured, after Trebek, an observant Jew, Mayim Bialik, and one of the topics on one episode was Sabbath, and the clue or answer under Sabbath for 400 cut close to home for Jews. The JTA reports, quote, "Contestants on an episode of Jeopardy! That aired Wednesday night were stumped when presented with a photo of cholent, a stew traditionally cooked by observant Jews over the course of Shabbat. The clue for $400 in the Sabbath category. Exodus 35:3 bans doing this on the Sabbath. Hence the Jewish dish cholent, which can go on the stove Friday and cook until Saturday lunch. The contestants, the article tells us, got close with guesses of what is cooking and what is work, but failed to name the exact Shabbat prohibition Mayim Bialik, the show's temporary host and herself an Orthodox Jew, was looking for. In the end, Bialik explained the answer. What is lighting a fire? And the article adds, explaining cholent on national television was a fitting role for Bialik, the first Jew to host the popular quiz show. End quote. Thus did cholent, Sabbath stew, make a Jeopardy appearance. But was this fair? The Jeopardy clue states explicitly that Exodus 35:3 is the reason for the existence of cholent. Let us see if this is right. The Torah, toward the end of Exodus, gives us that verse in Hebrew as follows. Lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshevotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. You shall not burn fire in your homes on the day of the Sabbath. That is the prohibition. During the medieval period, this verse was at the heart of major controversy because part of the Jewish world at the time was dominated by a sect known as Karaites. And among the Karaites, the case was made in the medieval period that this verse meant that one cannot have any fires burning on Shabbat at all, even if it was lit before Shabbat. Shabbat, according to this approach, was meant to be spent in darkness. But for Rabbinic Judaism, in contrast, the prohibition, you shall not burn a fire in all of your dwellings on the day of the Sabbath, forbade only lighting a fire on Shabbat, kindling a fire. But if the fire was kindled on Friday, then it could burn for the next 24 hours, as long as no one fed it. Thus, having a Sabbath stew that cooked overnight, over a fire, assuming the regular rabbinic prohibitions were taken to remind one not to feed the fire on the Sabbath, was in fact in the medieval period seen as a sign that one was a rabbinic Jew. Cholent, Sabbath stew, was a symbol of rabbinic Judaism. It began in the Sephardic world as chamin and traveled to Ashkenaz, where it became cholent. However, ultimately, the reason why we have the cholent placed on the stove overnight is not because we cannot light a fire. It is because we are not allowed to cook. Were we allowed to cook, we could place the cholent on the fire on the Shabbat morning. In terms of direct causation, the development of Sabbath stew derives from the prohibition of cooking on Shabbat. So it would seem that the contestants on Jeopardy were correct. This point was made by a person on Twitter by the name of Simi Cohn, who seems interested in this subject, and who put it this way, quote, "Last night cholent was on Jeopardy, yay, but am I the only one that found the clue misleading and bothersome? Yes, that pasuk means verse, prohibits lighting a fire, but the separate prohibition of cooking is what directly necessitated cholent. Even if we were allowed to light a fire, we can't cook, so we wouldn't be allowed to put raw meat on that fire, so we would still need cholent," end quote. In other words, the real reason why we have Sabbath stew, the real reason why a pot is placed on the fire before the Sabbath so that we can have hot food on Saturday, is because of the prohibition of cooking on Shabbat. Jeopardy, in other words, seems to have gotten this wrong. And perhaps they did. But there is a larger point here, and here some more background must be given. If, as Rabbinic Judaism understands it, the verse in Exodus 35:3, "Thou shalt not kindle a fire in all of your dwelling places on the day of the Sabbath," only prohibits lighting a fire on the Sabbath. Why does the Torah need to tell us this? The truth is that a much more general mitzvah informs us that all creative activity is forbidden on the Sabbath. This we know from the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shall you do work. But on the seventh day, we are further told, Lo tasa kol malacha, you shall not perform any creative act. As Judaism defines this verse, that means that we cannot sow, we cannot write, we cannot plow, and we certainly cannot light a fire. Why then must the Torah go out of its way to inform us that lighting a fire on the Sabbath is forbidden? There are many ways to approach this, but for today, let us focus on what the great medieval commentator Nachmanides tells us. Nachmanides explains that this verse, prohibiting lighting a fire on Shabbat, is meant to distinguish between two forms of sacred time in Judaism, the Sabbath and the festivals. On the festivals, even the most sacred amongst them, with the exception of Yom Kippur, creative activity that is involved in the preparation of food is often allowed. Indeed, this is central to the enjoyment of the festival itself. We might therefore think that similar activities, such as the feeding of a fire and cooking, would be permitted on the Sabbath. The Torah therefore goes out of its way to tell us that this experience of the Sabbath is utterly different. Even creative activities involved in the preparation of food must be performed before the sacred Sabbath sets in. Why is this so? The answer is that the experience of rest and of restful awareness of God on the Sabbath is bound up with these prohibitions. This was best expressed by the Catholic theologian Maria Johnson in her memoir about experiencing Judaism from her Orthodox Jewish neighbors. Coming to visit her friend one Sabbath, Johnson confesses that, quote, I had always thought of Shabbos, that's the Sabbath, as a 25-hour prison of petty regulation enlivened by a bit of religion. Suddenly I saw how my friend spoke of it with such love, while they thought of the day not as a prison but as a queen. And then she adds, writing about her friend, it's not just that Ahuva was getting a break from her hectic life, but that she was at the epicenter of a place where restfulness was absolutely palpable. Not just an absence of activity, but a real presence. Had there been royalty in the house, the atmosphere could not have been more different from the other days of the week. End quote. The point then is that in contrast to festivals, when cooking and certain forms of kindling are permitted, the Sabbath is an utterly different experience. If we wish to have hot food on Shabbat, it must be placed over the fire before the Sabbath begins, because all creative activity is included in the Sabbath prohibition. Johnson came to understand that these prohibitions can actually be freeing. She writes, quote, Ahuva's life places just as many demands on her and then some, but the commandment to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy trumps everything else. And the commandment means that she, all her family, the four other Orthodox families on her block, and all Shabbos observant Jews everywhere spend the time from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday inhabiting time and space in a way that is quite unique. The job of the Shabbos laws is to prevent Jews from making any changes to the world, from tinkering with what God made for the space of one day. For one day, they simply have to live in the world as it is and cede control to God. All the laws, the 39 acts that generations of rabbis have multiplied into hundreds of prohibitions on the most trivial everyday activities, are an adamantine edge to chisel holiness into the week in a way that cannot be ignored or evaded by distraction and must therefore be welcomed and embraced and celebrated. There is no way to cheat, catch up, get ahead, achieve, manage, accomplish, or do anything at all except experience time as creatures whom God has made in his image and blessed and chosen and called. End quote. To experience time as creatures that God has chosen and called. This is at the heart of the Sabbath. This is how we are meant to remind ourselves about what is important in our lives and to help ensure thereby that our perspective on the world and on what is most meaningful to us is never placed in jeopardy. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.